Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
On Wednesdays, we give away Lions tickets. We did that earlier in the show. We played Name That Lion. It was Dante Culpepper. Sometimes we'll have obscure Lions. That was in the first hour of the show. Gave away tickets to the Browns-Lions matchup, the next home game at Ford Field. We'll have another pair of tickets to give away next Wednesday, another Name That Lion. We also have tickets to comedian Nate Bargatze to give away this hour on the show. He's going to be at Little Caesars Arena August 14th, 2026. It's courtesy of 313 Presents. You want to win the pair of tickets? You're going to need to listen for a drop. When you hear Dan Miller say, "Oh, that's so big," you're going to call in for that pair of tickets. You want to buy them? Tickets and event info at Ticketmaster.com.
Have you watched any of the Indianapolis games?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that late comeback against the Broncos.
Were you watching when they showed the new owner, since Jim Irsay passed, his daughter, one of his daughters, Carly Irsay?
She wears the headset.
She's on the sidelines. They actually showed her, I can't remember if it was last game or the game before, on the sidelines with the headset on, taking notes. And they've talked, there's been some stories done on this where, okay, she's this isn't the first time she's done it.
Nope.
She's got a kind of a track record of doing this. But she's also in meetings during the week. Now, I have no idea if she talks at all, has any input, but it seems a little much.
Well, it's nobody else is doing it.
No
so
one
that's
else,
why
but
it feels
doesn't
that
mean
way.
It, well, so nobody else is doing it, but it doesn't make it wrong.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. Do fans want their owner that involved? So this is what she has said. She said, "I'm not standing on the sideline to micromanage the coaching staff, as some have claimed. She wants to get a better understanding for the adjustments that are made and what the team needs. Thinks it makes her a better owner. She knows ball, knows the inner workings, understands who's screwing stuff up."
Right. So is she in there at halftime too when they're making adjustments?
Maybe. Do you think it makes the coaches feel like someone's on their back? Someone's watching them? Judging them?
I don't
know. Does that make
for
a good work environment if your boss is sitting over your shoulder?
It all depends on the relationship that she's been able to build with the coaching staff. And it appears right now through two games and through a short period of her being the, you know, one of the majority owners, that it's working. My experience has not been that way. When I played for Washington, I had an owner that he was involved in free agency, telling the general manager or the coach who to go get, who to sign, what to sign for. He was a guy that inserted himself so much that instead of, if a player had an issue, instead of going to the position coach, there's a chain of command. He broke that chain of command. Instead of going to the position coach or your head coach or the general manager, you go right to the owner. If that is a dynamic that develops because she is around so much and the players feel like she's approachable, I think it becomes an issue.
See, I like it, but I understand how it could become an issue if you feel like you're walking on eggshells as a decision maker, or if she takes over decision making because it is not her area of expertise. She's hired people to be experts. What you don't want is what you talk about with Dan Snyder, or I'll give you another one, Jerry Jones, who is the actual general manager and thinks he's a genius, and they've had no success for 30 years. So I think as long as she stays in a lane of observation, learning, note-taking, and then in the offseason, if she needs to make changes, that's where she shows up to...
She feels like she has more context to be able to make those changes.
So if someone has to fire the head football guy, she knows a little more of what's gone on. Or if she goes, actually, our GM's doing a good job. The coaches are screwing it up. Or the coaches are putting these guys in a great position, and the players are screwing it up. She has a better zoomed out perspective of the organization. If she's curious, she's earnest, she wants to learn, and she wants to make more informed decisions, that's a good thing. You just can't go too far. Like, we want our owners to care. This is an owner that cares. Maybe you just can't get like maniacal about it.
Maybe she's the reason why Daniel Jones is good now.
Right. Sure.
Colts are for real.
All thanks to Carly Ursay. How would you feel about it if Sheila was sitting on the sideline in a headset and a yellow notepad?
Oh, people would go ballistic here. They get mad because John Morton's sitting up
in the booth
instead of being on the field.
Well, they got mad.
Remember the conversations when we thought that Rod Wood was going to have football decisions?
Yeah.
People would go ballistic. I think it's too much. I do. Like, this would be like, this is like in our world, Jimmy's our coach. Debbie is our owner. Wouldn't it be weird to have no disrespect anyway?
If they were like sitting behind the glass watching the whole show with a notepad, it'd be a little much.
The entire show. Yes.
Yeah, but you also know that they're listening and we get feedback from them.
Yes.
So it's
yeah, but that's like watching to a degree. I mean, it's
they're not listening to the talk back between segments. You know, that's kind of what Carly Ursay's doing.
Well, don't listen to the talk back.
Yeah, our conversation here would be much different.
if the bosses were sitting in here. Right in the corner right there watching everything.
I've always said a great reality show would be a radio station. But it's all the stuff you don't hear.
Yes, when the mics go off, that's when all the best stuff is actually said.
And John's telling you the things that he was laughing about that he couldn't share on the air.
Yes.
And I'm going straight to HR.
What was that about eating a hot dog earlier? Anyway,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, the question is for you, the football fan. Like, how do you feel about the owner and what do you want from your owner? But the owner that sits there with a notepad and a headset on and she's listening to the talk between plays, the adjustments that are being made, the discussion between the coaches, the players, and the coordinators.
So it's all about the environment that she sets. And if this is something that she's done, she continues to do, and it does give her context when she has to make decisions, you know, about coaches or about general managers. I get that. But when you're around so much, sports is a different business. You're dealing with very unique individuals. And as long as she has, like the issue that we had where players would go straight to the owner, all the owner has to say is, hey, no, you need to talk to your position coach. You need to talk to your coach, the general manager. I am a last resort. Like that's where she really needs to make sure that the leadership is in place.
You don't want to like usurp the people you hired to be leaders. You don't want to like reduce their ability to be leaders.
No, she can empower them by directing, if that situation does arise, empowering the leaders by the ones that she's hired by saying, this is how you handle this issue. It's not becoming to me.
Tech says, I think it's awesome that she's so engaged and she's trying hard to learn. It's a great leadership tactic. The Colts owner's trying to learn how to do this. After a few months, you won't even see her on the field. See, I don't know about that. This text on Twitch says, the Lions were 1-6. The vast majority wanted Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes fired. Sheila stepped up and said no.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about that.
Yeah, we have. Matt and Gross Point, what do you think?
It's funny. I paired everything you guys would say. I love it. If I was an owner, I would do that. But the biggest thing is, no, I wouldn't. I'm not going to give you play tips. I'm not going to say, hey, why aren't you running the 4-3 here? I just want to know what's going on. And if I can know the plays ahead of time and listen and learn. And then, like you both said, at the end of the year, when it's time to evaluate, I have even more information. I don't have to go back and watch film. I think it's a cool thing, and I would love it. Now, maybe not Sheila. I don't see her getting up and down there, but I would put the headset on up in the booth. Absolutely. I love it. I think it's a cool thing.
Well, we've seen ownership be involved, like at the draft when they show the behind-the-scenes stuff. Yeah. Like they're sitting at the table, taking it all in. I mean, they're not up at the whiteboard crossing names out and circling guys for the team to draft.
No, just Jerry.
Well, Jerry does. I'm talking about Sheila. She's there. She's present. She's learning. She's aware. She's an active owner who cares. That's what you want. You want someone who will write the checks and who cares about the future and winning of your football team. You don't want the absentee owner that you can't find.
I'm also a little bit hesitant to say learning because she's grown up around football, as I'm talking about, you know, Ursay. She's grown up around football, and I don't know what her background is and how long she's been doing this, how involved she was as, you know, in her early 20s.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to demean that she doesn't know football.
I think she's raising the level of her awareness of what is going on inside her organization.
And the type of people that she's employing and the way they interact and try to find solutions and win football games.
It's unique. There's no question about it.
We have not seen an owner do this. She put the headset on. She's got her notepad. How would you feel if that was Sheila? What do you think of your owner doing that in sports? What do you want out of your owner? It's 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. So listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks in the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right, $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on RootMetrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
What kind of owner do you want in sports, right? Because the Colts owner is down on the sideline with a headset listening into play calls and communications, and she's got a little notepad and she's keeping notes. She is very involved. Yep. Ticket texters. I like the owner being involved. It shows they have a passion and want to win. Now, the text says Sheila has been in the draft room every year. They show clips of Brad kind of explaining the thought process behind certain picks. Honestly, I want a Mark Cuban-style owner, the type of guy who's always on the sideline, a big fan of the game, running the team like he's a fan of the team. The only downside is if you get into Jerry Jones' world.
Right.
Or, I mean, you brought up personal experience, Dan Snyder, where you're meddlesome. You're in the way. You're actually hurting your football decision-maker's ability to do the job. And that's why I ask, like, is she at all impacting their performance by sitting over their shoulder?
I don't think she has anything to do with that. No, I don't think she's impacting
it. Are they impacted by
somebody's
her?
Somebody's always looking over my shoulder. Yeah. I can't say what I really want to say because she's listening.
I don't know if that's the case, but I like that she's involved. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Jim, you have said running the team like a fan. Fans have texted today, fire Scott Harris. So just a reminder of what running the team like a fan is.
Okay, fair point.
I think maybe what she's trying to do, Carly Ursa, is be a more informed fan.
Right, but we have an example of somebody that's not always visible in Tom Gores.
Right.
But we love the fact, okay, yeah, it kind of drives everybody crazy that he's not here. He's not a part of this community.
He's out in LA. He doesn't care. But you know what? He stepped up and paid Monty Williams to go away.
There you go. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that you want in your owner. And if things aren't going right, you want to be able to write a check and say, hey, good to go.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, like for an owner, humiliation is the great motivator to flip things. I thought that happened with Gores with the 28-game losing streak.
Yep. Yep.
And I think it happened with Sheila and Martha on the field, the Ravens game the first year of Dan Campbell. You know, I think
booed. Remember, you were at that game.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a very uncomfortable, I thought. But I got it because of the years of frustration. But it wasn't all her fault. You know, it was
things
that happened in the past. But I will say this. The Colts organization, and it's a family organization. She took over for dad that passed away, and he meddled sometimes.
And mom.
And this is an organization that hired Jeff Saturday. Which, John, I think you thought was one of the most unbelievable things since we've worked together. That actually, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, yeah. Dreams do come true. Like, but that was not in a good way for the organization, but for Jeff Saturday.
Right.
Yeah. You mean you want me to coach? You're not going to turn that down. it was bizarre and it didn't work. And I don't know that many people thought it would, but they're in a pretty good spot now.
Tom, you brought up people being uncomfortable with John Morton up in the booth.
Oh yeah, this is this year's Applebee's. Although the Applebee's Dan Campbell distraction, it still exists, but because we got it after the first week when they lost to Green Bay. But yeah, the big one that was coming in this year was they lost because John Morton's up in the booth and not on the field calling plays.
Yeah, there's a lot of that when they lost to Green Bay. I think.
What about last week?
I think Carson Anderson even asked Goff about people's concerns.
Yeah.
After week one, we specifically with Morton up in the booth,
we could see if it's a road booth thing.
Okay. This ticket texter addresses it. Says Morton could be in the booth wearing pink stilettos under the desk. If the Lions win the Super Bowl, nobody would care. Actually, they'd want him to wear them if the Lions won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just win.
He never stands up, does he?
Are you speculating he might actually?
Well, no. I mean, he just never stands up, so we don't know from the waist down.
Or deny.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he has shorts on. Maybe he's got the lower portion of your cabana outfit.
He could be like a lot of these people with their Zoom jobs.
Yeah.
Where they have they're sitting in their boxers and they just have like a suit and like a shirt and tie or a button up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All business up top.
Yeah.
Party down below.
Party down below. On that note, sorry, Heather.
It's the business mullet.
Let's get to the news.
Well, Cardi B and Stefan Diggs are expecting a baby together. She just broke the news this morning. She did an interview with Gayle King. The two have been linked since last October, but they first made their relationship public during a date night at a New York Knicks game about 4 months ago. So they are together. She said that they're in a great place. They're very supportive of each other. He makes her feel safe and confident and strong. And anyway, she's going to have, this is baby number 4 for her, and this will be his second child.
Congrats to them.
Yeah, right? For sure. Amazon is joining ESPN, CBS, and Paramount Plus as broadcast partners of the Masters in 2026 and will air 2 hours of coverage during the first and second rounds in April. So the 2026 Masters will have 27 total hours of broadcast coverage, which is 50% more than was broadcast in 2024.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah. There's a spokesperson says working alongside Amazon in this capacity is an exciting opportunity for the Masters tournament and its fans. Says the addition of Amazon will also further our abilities to expand and enhance how the tournament is presented and enjoyed.
Look, I know there's people complaining. Well, it's another streaming platform. It's more coverage.
Exactly.
You got apps on your phone. You got apps on your TV.
Yeah, it's just more coverage you got to pay for.
I get that part. Yeah. But the people like, how do I find it? There's apps on your phones and TVs, people. Yeah.
Listen to this story. There's a suspect on the loose after making an underwater robbery.
Oh, I heard about
at
this.
At a popular Disney Springs restaurant. This is crazy. So police in Florida say a man in scuba gear swam up to the Paddlefish restaurant.
Yes.
Shortly after midnight, stole between $10,000 and $20,000. Uh-huh. So he got out of the water, got out of his wetsuit, tied employees up, made them stand in the corner, turn their eyes so he could take all this money, got back in his wetsuit, jumped into a pond, and made his escape. And they say he was in the room for only about 2 minutes. So he did that very quickly. Because a wetsuit, if it's fitted properly, takes a minute to get on, especially
Couldn't he just stay in the wetsuit?
He got back into the wetsuit. So I'm guessing, he did. They describe him as being about 5'10", slim figure, wearing tight clothes and a blue beanie before he went and changed back into his wetsuit. No one saw a weapon. Nobody
was
hurt.
So he took the wetsuit off, put on the blue beanie. Because you're not wearing that underwater, right?
It's my robbery beanie.
I wouldn't imagine. Yeah. But where are you storing it then? Like just inside the wetsuit somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, it's that or a sock.
I guess so. If you've got bottles of, Prosecco at home from Costco, beware. You better be careful. Costco has issued a safety alert over bottles of its Costco signature Prosecco. They say it could shatter without warning, even if left unopened. So they could just be sitting on your counter and just explode at any moment. They say members who bought the sparkling wine between April 25th and August 26th in 11 states, including Michigan, you should just
Throw it away?
Throw it away, but not just like throw it in your garbage can. You should wrap it in paper towels, seal it in a plastic bag, and then put it into your garbage because it could explode in the trash as well.
I mean, what if you opened it and just poured out?
Well,
it may explode in your hands.
Explode at your own risk. I mean, taking the risk. Because I read this and I was like, oh, open it, drink it fast, and get rid of it.
You're like, I'm not letting this go to waste.
Yeah, don't waste it. You paid for it.
Did they say why?
It was something to do with how it was, where it was packaged, I guess. This Ithaca Wines, the distributor. Why? I don't.
No.
Anyway.
I mean, if you release the pressure, then it won't explode.
You can get a refund. Don't bring in the bottle and you just put in a plastic bag. You will receive a warning letter if you bought one of the specific bottles that could explode. Take that warning letter to Costco, get a full refund, John. Okay. Yes. Listen to this story. A New Zealand mom just set a world record recently, actually, in the 100-meter Lego race. So it's a race where you run barefoot across Lego bricks.
This looks miserable.
It sure does.
I would rather run across hot coals.
This looks awful. Gabrielle Wall, she earned the Guinness World Record. This was actually back in January, but she just recently went viral. She ran it in 24.75 seconds, and she said she did it because it was a bucket list item after she had a really bad health scare in 2022. Not necessarily running on Legos, but it was
setting a world record.
Setting a world record was a goal, and this hadn't been set at all. So she was the first person and only person to do this. Other people had walked across Legos, but nobody had tried to run across it. So she did, and she trained for this. This wasn't just something like,
how do you train for this?
Well, you run on Legos.
Well, she filled up an inflatable tub in her garage, and she would get into it every single day barefoot. She would take calls on it, and people would be like, gosh, you sound, you know, very serious. Tense. And and it's because she was walking on Lego. She walked around barefoot for like quite a while, like literally did everything without shoes on. So she
did. You see the video of her actually running on it? It looks like it doesn't even phase her.
But I think it does, because she did say she got like a cut on her foot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Greg, it is all mental. Yes. Mental toughness.
Yep. She did it.
Congrats to her.
Yeah.
That's Heather with the news. And congrats to our winner of the Nate Bargatze tickets today, John and Taylor. He listened and heard That is So Big from Dan Miller, and he wins the tickets. It's a pair of tickets to see Nate Bargatze, Little Caesars Arena, August 14th, courtesy of 313 Presents. For tickets and info, visit Ticketmaster.com. Dan Campbell's next, 97.1.
Value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have questions about my finances, I turn to my bank. That's First Merchants Bank, and I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and in helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check-off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They're going to take the time to learn about my life and my personal financial goals and work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. And that's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, not just as a number, and they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. You can count on that, since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers who know and are passionate about the needs of the local community, because it's their community as well, and we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, you can visit them at firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. Member FDIC.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.